Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Who am I? I'm Bob Ginsburg. I'm here with Tom and Melissa Gould. Yes. I almost said I'm Tom Gould, but I'm not Tom Gould. Tom Gould is sitting next to me.
Are you sure?
Melissa is sitting next to him. And Fran,
who are you?
Sitting next to Melissa.
Okay, so we've got everybody right here. Tonight's topic, as you know, on the gathering, we pick a different topic. We're going to revisit one this week. Signs from the spirit world, and we're going to be talking about how do you recognize them, are they real, are they coincidence, and we'll discuss a broad range of what people like to see. So before we get started, do you want to bring us up to date on some foundation stuff?
Yes, and I think it's time for me to plead, because I know I talk about the Amazon link on the website, and I know I talk about iGive. And many, many of our listeners and many, many of our members participate. But we seem to be dropping off a bit the past couple of months. And this money that comes in through Amazon and iGive really helps to support the programming that you're listening to right now. So if I can just have your attention and beg you to please, when you are shopping on the internet, if it is with Amazon, please go to the Forever Family Foundation website first, use the Amazon link then, and everything that goes into your shopping cart will generate a donation from Amazon to us, and we thank you for that. If you're not shopping on Amazon, then please, please, please sign up for iGive.com, where you can name the charity of your choice, and we're asking that you make Forever Family Foundation the charity of your choice. And when you shop on the internet and you happen upon one of their more than 1,400 online stores, everything you shop in on those stores will generate a donation to us. So we're asking you to please be a little cognizant of your shopping habits when you're on the internet, and please remember to either go to the Amazon link on Forever Family Foundation or to join iGive.com, and everything will happen automatically on your computer. They even have one for your iPhone and your iPad and your Androids. So please, please, please remember us when you shop. And that's my big pleading message to everybody right now. Then I want to remind everybody not to miss our Long Island fundraiser, Spirit Sunday, on September 14th at Pomodorino Restaurant in Huntington, New York. It will be featuring Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Lynn LeClaire and Rebecca Anlo Cicero, following a full Italian meal complete with coffee and cannoli. You don't want to miss this. And let me tell you, if we have listeners out there who have tried to get an appointment with Lynn LeClaire, this is your chance to see her, because we know that her waiting list is way, way, way backed up. And lastly, the wait is over. Plan to get yourself to Durham, North Carolina for the biggest and best afterlife conference ever. It is a convention of the top organizations that have been dedicated to the investigation of life beyond this physical life. You don't want to miss this. From November 6th through the 11th, we have loads of special things planned, including a day at the Rhine Research Center with a spoon bending party. So like I said, we have lots of very special things planned. So visit our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and make your reservations now, because this will be a big one, and you do not want to miss out on all this pomp and circumstances. And finally, if you are a business and you're interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. back to you, Bob.
And we're back on The Gathering, and we're going to be talking about after-death communication, signs people get. And by the way, if any of our listeners hear something that resonates with them or they'd like to share a sign that they've had, give us a call at 1-888-627-6008. So when we talk about after-death communication, on the one side, you have the skeptic who would probably say, well, just everything's a coincidence. There's no such thing. On the other side, the people that are true believers might say that, you know, everything is a sign. And then you have people that they're open, but they're not so sure. So then they say, well, is it possibly my own wishful thinking or my imagination? So I guess everybody falls into one of those categories. Where would you say you fit, Melissa?
Well, I think anyone who's heard me talk about this on the show before knows I'm a big believer in signs. And I, you know, the word coincidence, I like to say a synchronicity, perhaps. I know there have been, I'll quickly review the signs that are most meaningful to me, which make me think of my loved ones, primarily birds. Birds catching my attention by their chatter, or swooping in front of me, my car. I should say my car more than me just walking somewhere. But, in my, you know, a cardinal perched on the side of the road, and then my car is coming, and it gets up and swoops right across. Once I recall thinking about my dad and saying, yeah, I haven't thought, you know, had any signs from you lately, Dad. You know, send me something. And with that, a bird narrowly misses my windshield on an exit ramp from one of our parkways. So it was just an unusual. In fact, seeing cardinals crossing the parkways seems just unusual.
Well, that, you know, Matt, you mentioned it. I mean, you touched on something that's important, I think, and that is the timing, right? So, you know, if you're not sure whether it's a sign, if you're thinking of a loved one and then it happens, mm-hmm. it's more likely that that's a true sign, or if you ask and then it happens. So I think timing has something to do with it. Now, I remember you guys had told us a story. I think it was when you were waiting for the birth of your grandchild, mm-hmm. and you went outside to have a little breather. And
that
then,
was amazing, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
Well, that was last year.
Yeah.
And yes, we were waiting for my grandson, and our... granddaughter had been, was in a room. Daughter-in-law was in a room, and our son had gone in to see her, and we were out in the waiting room, and we figured that, we had been told that it was going to be a while because she was not dilated enough. But we thought we would go around the, on our way out of the hospital, that we would walk down the street where her room was, and try to see if we could wave to her or whatever, having no idea what room was where or anything like that. And as we're walking down the...
We called our son on the cell phone and said, we're outside, we're going to try to find your window so at least we can wave to Julie.
And as we're walking down the street, there was a wrought iron fence out in front of the hospital near these windows, and there was a cardinal sitting right on the wrought iron fence, and as soon as we noticed the cardinal, we also noticed the shade going up on the window right next to it, and there was our son and daughter-in-law waving to us.
There again, your bird. So do you think that, you know, people in spirit are, what do you think really goes on? Do you think that they're able to... We know that spirit can imprint thoughts into humans. Can they do the same with animals? Do you think
it's a lot easier?
Bird brain. You know, maybe a simpler creature is easier to influence.
Right. I think I'll fly over there. Maybe they don't necessarily know why, but it serves the greater purpose, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'll let you keep talking, Bob. I'll jump in as other...
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of different things that people see as signs. Sometimes it's music, sometimes it's behavior in animals, sometimes it's numbers, and we're going to talk about all that after we come back from our break. So stay with us, and we'll be hearing more about the unseen world when we come back.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio, and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about afterlife communication, specifically signs. How do we know that they're real? Now, we were just talking before the break about how spirit might do that. So a lot of people talk about music being played at an opportune time. So I guess, you know, people in spirit telepathically impress maybe upon for example, you go in a department store, you know, well, a department store is not a good example. They probably use Muzak. But if you go in another place or a disc jockey, the spirit could impress upon the disc jockey, well, I think I'll play this song. Or maybe impress upon somebody that I'm going to put on a certain perfume today. And then, because they can see the bigger picture, and when it happens, it's like a big symphony at work. So, I mean, do you think that's how signs work?
No, I think that they could also influence the Muzak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So, well, you're talking about the PK to something that...
Because you're calling it PK, and I'm saying that they can manipulate sound. We know that they can manipulate sound. How many times?
Well, they can't change the order of a song. They can do an EVP on it.
Do an EVP on it. Why not?
Yeah, but not going to put on a whole new song.
Yeah, a whole new EVP song. Why not?
I don't know how that works with the Muzak, but Tom, you might know. Is it? It's programmed like a disc, and the spirit could know what other songs are on that disc.
Yeah, well, these days, I mean, it used to be a tape and that, but these days it's all digital. And like okay. Fran says, you probably could switch the files and put them in order. I mean, we're talking elevators and that sort of thing. I mean, obviously, when you listen to the radio, there's a DJ who selects a song, and of course, that would be more seems easier to put a thought in his head, oh, I want to play this song, because they know that this person's getting in their car and going to turn it on to that station, and boom, that song's going to come up. But, you know, I mean, it's like I say, in an elevator, you get into an elevator, and your loved one knows that you're getting in there, and then they switch a song, which is one explanation that you're actually switching the song. Another explanation, of course, is if they can implant thoughts into birds or yourself, that you think you're hearing that song. You know, maybe the song's not actually playing, but they put it in your head that this song is playing.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't think of it
that's
that
true.
Way. I was thinking more that they can imprint the entire song or some version of it.
Yeah.
Onto the tape. We know that they can take a pre-recorded tape from a medium reading and imprint something on it that wasn't there before. So why can't they take a running digital tape and imprint a song that wasn't there before?
Well, I guess anything's possible. I mean, just traditionally, EVPs have been really short 2-3 second messages.
If you want to classify it as an EVP...
Yeah.
As opposed to a communication. Remember, an EVP is something that you ask for, usually. You play the tape for a designated amount of time, and then you wait, and you play it back. And usually, and this is never disclosed, usually with some sort of background noise in order for them to imprint that electronic voice phenomena onto the tape or the device or what it is. But we've seen, and we've had calls come into the office where people have come home, played their answering machine, and have a message, a Class A message from a deceased person.
Right, and that's another common sign that we should discuss is the telephone calls and answering machines. People are constantly reporting cell phones, you know, ringing. We had one of our members just yesterday, I don't know if you got a chance to read
that. I read that email, right.
Had a friend of his who had recently passed, and after, I think it was a couple of days after, he didn't know his friend had actually passed, and his cell phone rang, and it came up that it was this deceased person. And when he checked, the family said, no, you know, nobody has touched the phone. So things like that happen all the time, and we know. I mean, you've gotten an EVP on your answering machine, so I know that you know.
I listen to that every single day when I get in my car, and every single day, that's amazing, because Tom had taken it, lifted it from the phone answering machine and put it on a disc so I can play it in my car. And, it's for the viewers who hadn't heard that story, it's my father's elderly, bedridden voice that was quite gravelly at the end, and he just simply said, "It's Grandpa." And it was so clear to the family members who heard it that that was his voice.
Yeah. It's amazing sometimes just how inventive we're it seems we're a lot more inventive after we die than when we're alive. Yeah.
I just want to elaborate on her story because the listeners don't know. The answering machine upon which Melissa's dad left that message, it's a grandpa, was a message that was being left on her machine by Tilly, Melissa's granddaughter. So it would make sense that when Melissa's father came through, he wasn't talking to Melissa, he was talking to Tilly, saying, it's grandpa. And that's where the EVP comes in. So it wasn't like he made a phone call or wanted to interfere with the answering machine message to Melissa as much as he wanted Tilly to know that he was there.
That's a good point. And again, it's not only timing, but the circumstances surrounding it. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you question, is it real or is it not real, it certainly seems that they're more real, so to speak, when you have
when it makes sense like that.
It makes perfect sense.
Well, I have a few, actually, that are startling. I took my mom to Teresa Caputo to be read. And Teresa, if you know, she always has a cassette recorder with her, and she'll record the session and give you the cassette at the end of the thing. And towards the end of the reading, she says to me, she goes, now your dad is saying that he's messing with the tape. He's messing with the tape. And she goes, I'm just going to leave that with you and I'll give you the tape. Well, I got the tape home, and usually what I did with those tapes, as Melissa says, is I converted them all to CDs so we could listen to it in our car and that sort of thing. And sure enough, I'm playing this tape back in the reading, and when she says he's going to mess with the tape went... So he actually did mess with the tape. That's one. The next one, which is even more amazing, is I was, as people may know, I'm a musician. I had released my first CD, and I was on a radio station in Maine. And I happened to have with me a recording that a friend of mine, a blues singer in Manhattan by the name of Jerry Duggar, who had recorded one of my songs on his album, and I had an advanced copy of it. Nobody had ever heard it before, so I allowed them to play the song on their radio show because I was so proud of Jerry's version of this. And then we went to a break, and during the break, the door opened up, and one of the staff people from the radio station popped in and said, I have this guy, and I can't remember his name, but I have this guy on the phone, and he said to say hi to Jerry. So, I took down the name, and when I went back home to New York and I found Jerry in the city, I said, hey, Jerry, I was on the radio. I played your version of the Behave Yourself, and sure enough, Jack called in and said to say hi. And he looked at me like I had told him that there was an earthquake or something, because his expression was aghast. And I said, what's up, Jerry? He goes, that guy died 3 weeks ago. He was a bartender at the Dan Lynch Blues Bar where Jerry played all the time, and he had apparently was found in his apartment dead, and yet 2 weeks after he had died, he's calling into a radio station to say hi to Jerry.
It's classic, and there's books of research on that very thing, and it seems that it happens more frequently very soon, and like what happened to you, sometimes in the days or weeks after the person's death.
I mean, I didn't know the guy.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't know his name, because I don't remember it today. So for me, from 400 miles away, 500 miles away, to get his name and to have the, say hi to Jerry, and then when I see Jerry, how could you explain that any other way?
You were the messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to know if signs are real, there's a real one.
Exactly.
There's lots of real ones. And you have a lot of great ones, Tom. We have a call from Daryl from New York on line two. Can we take it?
Sure. Daryl?
Hi.
Hi. You're on Signs of Life. Welcome to the conference.
Yes. This is the first time I'm listening, and I'm so happy I got you. I was listening to your signs, and my son passed away 3 years ago, July 27th. and I have his watch. And the watch does not even have a battery. It's dead completely. But I carry the watch in my purse, and when I start crying or I hear a song, and I'm talking to him and saying his name, the watch starts, the alarm comes on the watch.
Wow.
And it's beeping.
How cool is that?
And I've had his daughter with me. I know, I have his daughter, had my his daughter with me, and she's going, Mimi, that's Daddy's watch. I said, I know, but it doesn't work. She goes, but that's him telling us, you know? Yeah. And it's great. It's just, I just love it.
Yeah,
you know?
No, too.
And I know it's him.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a wonderful story, mm-hmm. and thank you for sharing. And we hear that so okay. often, people have, you know, clocks on mantles that haven't worked for decades
mm-hmm.
that suddenly start work, for, you know, these music boxes, and they sure seem like, mm-hmm. That they're able to manipulate energy in ways that we can't understand.
Right.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for sharing that.
It's true. Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm enjoying the show.
Bye-bye. The most common type of communication that people report is simply the sense of presence. You know, whenever they do these surveys, that's what people talk about the most. And it's hard for people to put it into words, but they just know that their deceased loved one is around. And I know, Fran, you certainly get that. I mean, sometimes Fran will just say to me, so-and-so is here, I know it, you know, and she can even pinpoint, you know, where they are. So, I mean, can you describe that process at all?
It's exactly like you said. It's hard to describe, but it's this, and it's not just a knowing, like, it pops into your head. There is an essence, a physicality, maybe, mm-hmm. that goes along with it. So, like, if I'm downstairs in the living room and this entity arrives upstairs in the front bedroom, I know immediately that who this person is and that they are in the front bedroom. And yet they don't have to be touching me or near me, or I don't have to see them, but there is a sensation that goes along with it. And you can't describe it because we've all been oriented towards our five senses, and that's it, you know. So this is a sense that I believe we all have. Some of us are more open to it than others, and I think if we can train ourselves to be more open to it, we can enjoy the sense of presence that our loved ones give us easily. And I think this is, just like you said, it's the most common thing. I think it's the easiest thing for them to do.
Mm. Is it somewhat, I mean, I can't speak because I really don't recall ever having the sense of presence, but I would think that it would be frustrating in that you know, as you described, definitely that there's a discarded entity in the house, but you can't...
There's no level of frustration that comes with it.
Sometimes you can't identify who it is.
Sometimes I can't, but still along with it comes this level of peace mm-hmm. that, wow, it's all good, it's wonderful, there's somebody in the living room and I'm not there, and it's cool, and it's great, and it's wonderful, and you don't need to know who it is.
Yeah. Well, do you think that for you, you find it peaceful and comforting because you have a good grasp of spirituality, and so to speak, and metaphysics and things that are outside our physical laws, but somebody else might be fearful, somebody that doesn't know anything about apparitions.
I've never, in all the years that I've been talking to people about it, I've never heard anybody talk about the sense of presence with fear attached to it. So either it's that they won't create that sense of presence if they know it will create fear within you, or simply when it comes through, there is no fear attached to it. It's just this, it's like when a near-death experience happens and they go over and, yeah, they're dead. They're supposed to be upset about it, but for some reason they think this is a glorious, wonderful experience. It's kind of like that.
Yeah. I would imagine if there were several people, let's say, here tonight, you know, and we had a shared sense of presence, that would be you know, meaningful. And we know that there are things like shared deathbed visions, you know, where people in the room experience the same visions that the dying person experiences. That would be, I mean, maybe I can train myself one day to be able to do that when you are. It would also be pretty interesting if when you had such a sense of presence, if there was an evidential medium who's more attuned to these things that could identify the same person that you believe it is, you know?
Right, and yet the other way around, it must be a whole different ball game, this sense of presence, because there's been situations where I've been in a room with a medium doing some work for the foundation, and the medium will turn around and say, oh, there's a gentleman here reading a newspaper, you know, and try and describe who it is so that maybe I'll... But at that point, I don't have a sense of presence of this person that the medium claims is in the room with us.
Right.
So either the medium is off, or the sense of presence is a whole different ball of wax than what a medium is able to discern in a room.
Have either of you ever had a, Tom or Melissa, had a sense of presence like Fran was talking about?
I don't think I have in the way that you described it, but I would have, on occasion, have feelings of, I don't want to exactly call it a hug, but I feel like it comes from down and embraces me, and I just sort of get a sense of well-being. Like, I particularly remember it when I was going back to grad school and driving to class, and I would get that feeling, and in my head it meant, oh, you're in the right place at the right time. Like, it was evening, I was taking evening classes after a work day, and a little hectic, but I would have that feeling, and it would be this sense of peace and calm. But later, after I met you guys and we explored all of this more and those feelings came, I identified it more as a hug and maybe a presence. So whether it was always the same being, like a spirit saying, yes, you are in the right place at the right time and we're with you.
And that must have been the inspiration for Hugs from Heaven.
Maybe.
You know, a very, very common sign that people report is this sense of touch. So, you know, you were feeling this sense of presence by touch. It felt like a hug, so that's not uncommon.
Yeah.
People also commonly report things like a brushing in the hair that was one of the things I questioned at the beginning. I kept getting this... felt like somebody was brushing the side of my head. Remember?
Tactile.
Which
I think is different than a sense of presence.
Well, like a lot of people, you know, is this a physical thing? Is it my imagination? You know, it was all over the place with that. But it's a commonly, you know, reported thing. You want to take another call?
Let's take another call.
Okay.
We've got Sherry from Pennsylvania online, too. Hello, Sherry. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Sherry.
Yes, hello. I'm calling with a question. I had a very close friend die in May of this year, and I asked her to please contact me after she passed away. And I also am an amateur photographer. I especially like to do portraits, and I did one of her and had it enlarged for her funeral. And afterward, I hung it on my wall. And I had a very strange feeling about the photograph, like the person was looking at me. And after a couple weeks, I realized that when I moved, the photograph, the person's head, moved with me. And it kind of, you know, it... It kind of freaked me out at first, you know.
I would think so.
Then I would go from one side of the room to the other, and her head would turn, you know. And I was really shocked, and I was really kind of afraid to tell anybody this, you know, thinking they wouldn't believe me. And
well, you don't
I finally
have to
told my
here.
Sister, he did believe me. But the thing is that my question regards, is it wrong for me to ask this person to stay? It's been several months now, and her photograph, her head still moves, and I go in and I talk to her all the time. But I'm wondering if this is wrong for me to do that.
Well, I can't think why it would be wrong. Bob, what do you think?
Well, listen, the people in spirit will find, as we've been talking about, their own way to get their message across to you. This happens to be through a photograph. You know, could you be imagining, you know, that the head is moving back and forth? I guess that's possible. But on the other hand,
I thought at first too that I was imagining it, and then I kept going from different angles. I even took different photographs.
Oh,
and
good.
I believe that it's real. You know, I really believe that. It sounds crazy. I've never heard of this before, you know, from anybody. But I really believe that it's kind of like her head turns in slow motion.
Yeah, well, certainly we know that psychokinesis exists, and that's, you know, the power of mind to affect matter. And it doesn't matter, you know, the mind survives physical death. So, you know, people in the spirit world can affect physical matter, in this case, you know, a photograph or a painting, in ways that, you know, we can't imagine. So who are we to say that it's not happening? It sounds like this is her way of keeping in touch, and in a way that she knew that you would pay attention because you're a photographer, you know,
it's a photograph of her. I've also heard that it takes a lot of energy for a spirit to do this.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, that was a concern, too. I mean, I don't have any idea, don't know how to relate to how much energy it takes for her to do this, but I guess that's a concern, too.
Well, it's certainly, it's something, it doesn't hurt her in any way. It's something that, and you said before, is it wrong to talk to her in that? And by all means, as you say, it takes an effort on her part to do this so that she can communicate with you. And it's driven by love. So the love that you shared, you still share. And there's nothing at all wrong with expressing that and talking to her. She will hear what you say, and by all means, communicate.
Well, okay, I sure will.
Okay, and thanks for sharing that interesting phenomenon with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about in different signs, so stay with us, and we will be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about after-death communication and signs. We touched on a little bit at the top of the show about, you know, coincidence. So there are an awful lot of people, especially in the work that we do, that constantly tell us their belief that there is no such thing as coincidences. You know, other people, as we mentioned, the skeptics might say, well, you know, everything's a coincidence, you know. So there might be a middle ground. I'm always putting you on the spot first.
I'm always thinking I can.
You're the guinea pig, but do you...
sitting opposite Bob.
Yeah. I mean, which camp do you fall? I mean, do you believe that everything, like there is no such thing as a coincidence? And what's the meaning of life?
Well, you do have to look at the big picture, where apparently everything in the universe is interconnected.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be a coincidence because it's connected. And so if you notice the connection and go, oh, isn't that interesting? Isn't that a coincidence? No, it's a connection. So period to that one, I think. But
Speaking of a connection, we had been at a party once with some friends who often had parties. And a newcomer to the party, there with his wife, never met him before, asked me that same question. And right. I was like, me of all people, you don't know me, but
that was not
I'm into this.
So
I'm like, but I'm into that kind of thing.
Right.
So I thought, you know, that he sort of knew I might be.
We are wearing one of our T-shirts that says about the afterlife.
Oh, that must have been it.
Want to go to another poll?
Yeah, we have Regina on line 3 from New York. Regina, you there?
Hi. So I want to just preface my story about, you know, I've lost a lot of people in the past, and I have gotten the most significant phenomenons in the world. Like, I was actually having conversations with a lamp and with witnesses. And, like, every time I would ask the question, the light would go on and off. That was my mother. My brother came to me by showing his initials on my phone. And my friends can't even, like, when I tell them these stories, they say, you must have some kind of an open channel. Because it just, and the list goes on. I just, every time I love somebody, there was something so significant. And I just, well, I guess I'm either lucky or I'm just open to it. So, most recently, I lost a friend who, you know, I, like, cared about very much. about 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I'm getting some signs. We had a very, very significant number that met. It was his phone number, 241. And it just, you know, it was significant to us because even before he died, I'm like, your number just comes up everywhere. We have some kind of a connection. So, you know, we used to play the lotto numbers, and he would win every time I would play that number, and it was just kind of crazy. So after he passed, I was very, very upset. And, you know, every time I would look at the clock and I would be upset, I would see 241 or 1241. And I'm like, okay, this is just crazy. So now I'm driving in my car one day. It's about a week after he died. And, you know, I was passing his house, and this song came on the radio, a song that I downloaded for him, which I don't even like. Came on the radio, and I normally would just switch it, but something told me to listen to the song. It was Stevie Wonder, I Just Called to Say I Love You, and I happened to look at my dashboard at the mileage of my car, and I see 241, mm-hmm. and I just, at that point, I was like, wow, and I felt this warm, warm feeling. So, you know, I've been going back and forth, and I really kind of was at that moment convinced this is it. And, yeah. You know, and then I talked to friends, and they're like, no, you're so super, super sensitive to that number. I said, well, that explains my reaction to it, but it doesn't really explain why I keep catching it. Like, the other night, I was crying, and I haven't looked at the clock in an hour. I look at the clock, it was 1241. So I'm like, why is this cute? You know, am I going crazy? My friends tell me I'm going crazy. I'm going crazy. So, something happened the other night, and it said, you know, this is not working. I was actually talking to him to myself, and I'm like, this isn't working. Everyone thinks I'm crazy. This number thing isn't working. You're going to have to get more creative than that. So I was going through my drawers, and I found an old cell phone, which I knew was dead in the water because I had to buy one quickly last year, you know, because it was just, I couldn't even get the thing going on. It was, you know, just dead, not a battery issue. So I said, you know what? I opened the drawer, I see it, because I saved it for some reason. I said, let me plug it in. Sure enough, I got this thing to go, because I wanted to see. I'm like, is there any text messages from him? And as soon as I turn it on, I go into my text messages, and I see it, and my last message to him was something, we were having a conversation about Joel Osteen, and I said to him, he taught, you know, I like him because he taught me to believe in myself and be positive and believe in yourself. That was the first thing I said, and I'm like, am I going crazy? Is that a sign?
Wow.
Yeah.
Or am I just... Is that a wow?
Yes. Yes. I'd like to take this. First of all, I'd like to recommend a book to you. There's a fellow by the name of Dave Kane. And his son... I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, there was a horrible fire in Rhode Island with a band.
Station nightclub fire.
Setting off pyrotechnics and 100 people were killed in the fire. Well, his son, Nicky, was the youngest victim of that fire. And Dave has started getting signs, and he wrote a book, and it's called 41 Signs.
41 Signs of Hope.
41 Signs of Hope, because his number was 41, and the whole book is how many times the number 41, which, of course, you're
at, wow,
has come up. So
look for
that, Dave Kane's book. Also, I'll give you a thing. My mom passed in 2010. Now, my number is 1111. I'm constantly seeing it on the clocks, on license, everywhere. Well, when she died in October of 2010, it was the next January, which was January 1st, or January, the first month of 2011. Well, on January 11th of 2011, I was talking with my wife about my mother, and my cell phone rang, and I had it with me. I went to pick it up. It was, and it just said, the screen said, unavailable. And the time was 11:11 a.m. So on 1/11/2011 at 11:11 a.m.
Wow!
I got a phantom phone call, and
incredible.
I knew it was my mother.
So needless.
I just keep going back and forth in my head, and saying coincidence, timing. It's all timing, and then I'm like, no, this is like, you know, what made me grab that old cell phone and to see his message after I said, you have to get more creative because no one believes me with this number thing. And then I see his message saying, be positive and believe.
Yeah, I think it's real what you're getting.
And we
also,
believe.
Can I ask you, Can I ask another question, which this is a crazy thought, and I've read a million books, and I've never read anything about this, but that week after he died, because that's when I felt he was around, that whole weekend after, and I went into 7-Eleven, and I got a cup of coffee, and strangely enough, I mean, I go there all the time, and there was a man behind the counter who worked there, and he just leaned over, he was behind the counter, and he saw me, and he just gave this big, gigantic smile, and, you know, I said, hello, I went to go get my coffee, I was at the end of the line, because there was about five people on the line. He sees me at the end, he calls me over, and he goes, have a nice day. I'm like, no, I was getting ready to pay him. And I'm like, oh. He's like, what don't you understand about have a nice day? He, like, picked me out of, like, a line of people. I'm probably pissed off a lot of other people, too. And he charged me for the coffee. I walked out saying, that was something Andy would... Can they do that? Is that possible? That was my first instinct.
The story of the waiter, your friend when you went to dinner. Melissa has a story that answers that directly.
Oh, my friend Barbara?
Oh. Yeah.
It was a little bit of a lengthy story, but she had wanted to have a visit from her son who had passed away. And I'll fast forward to the end where... She was at a Cheesecake Factory restaurant with her sister for a meal, and the waiter was not friendly at all. And Barbara and her sister were very put off by this, and Barbara was hoping her sister was treating to lunch. She was hoping her sister would not leave a very big tip to this fellow. And the sister went off to use the restroom, and while she was away, the waiter came over and was trying to convince Barbara to try a more interesting flavor of cheesecake for dessert, and Barbara's just saying, no, no, just plain vanilla, and he's practically insisting, and she's adamant, but she's wondering why is he, you know, being so nice all of a sudden, and he leans over and he gives her a kiss, and he goes, next time, promise me you'll try another flavor. And that night, Barbara finally had a dream from her son, Christopher, who had, you know, passed away many, many years ago. She finally had her first dream from Christopher. And in the dream, Christopher said, Mama, you didn't recognize me. I gave you a kiss.
Oh my God.
I guess that answers
it. That's incredible. So they can influence others.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
And thanks for calling.
Because, you know, it's funny. I thought I was going crazy, but I never read that anywhere else. But when I walked out of that 7-Eleven, I said, I would swear that was Andy. The way he... Oh, that's good to hear. That's kind of what I wanted to hear.
Well, thank you, and thanks for calling, and have a good evening. And now, Fran...
Thank you, you too.
Bye-bye.
What an exciting evening. Okay, now may the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Ann Hutchinson, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel Scandarian, Jeanette Davies, Miriam Pierzga, Julie Bichel, Christina DiDonato, Barbara Petillo, David Haith, Rita Springer, Mark Varon, Vicky Steffi, Tom Donahue, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Eddie Rowe, Karen, Andrea, Nina, Diane, Karen, Richard, David Mello, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen Lapata, Wendy Lippo, Barbara Russell, Tim Donahue, Philip McPhee, Gina Donato, Bobby Allison, Doug Berry, Brian, Barbara, and Lauren. And now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.